A young pastor often boasted in public that the only time that he needed in order to prepare a sermon was the short walk between the parsonage and the church across the yard. Now, after about 5 weeks of listening to his sermons, the congregation quickly went out and bought a new parsonage about 6 or 7 miles down the road. Preparation. And trust me, I spend more time than that on my sermons. But preparation. And that's kind of what our sermon, the sermon is about today, is preparation. Our scripture this morning is another one of Jesus' wonderful parables. And it's found in a chapter in the book of, in a chapter in the Bible that many regard as one of the most fantastic and most remarkable in the New Testament. Why? Well, for one thing, it's when Jesus' teachings wind up. You see, after Matthew 25, you will not find any more of Jesus' teaching going on. It's the wind up of his ministry. The other reason is that it deals with the kingdom of God and the final fulfillment toward which the world is headed, or hopefully headed. The parable uses the symbolism of a Palestinian wedding. This should not be a surprise because the wedding and the wedding banquet is a New Testament symbol for the kingdom of God. If we look through the New Testament, we'll see that in a lot of places. And I believe Christ is the one that started that, using the wedding and the wedding banquet as a symbol for the kingdom to come, and the events that will happen when that takes place. But it is a New Testament phrase, and it's been a good one when you think about it. I mean, most of you have been to weddings other than your own, and maybe some of you have been to your own wedding. I basically made it to mine. But anyways, that's another story for another day. So, but think about it. At a wedding, what's it like? It's just really happy. Everybody's happy and excited. And everything is just gorgeous, and there's lots of food to eat, and it's just a real joyous occasion, isn't it? And that's, I think, why Christ used the wedding phraseology to kind of begin to help us understand what it's going to be like when he returns and we're with him. Now, granted, it's only a taste of what it's like, but at least it begins to give us an idea. It's a happy time. Anyways, in this parable, Jesus is describing what the kingdom will be like when he returns. It will be a time of celebration, like that of a wedding feast. When he returns, we will enter the banquet with him. Well, maybe. Maybe. You see, we have these 10 bridesmaids that we got to deal with, who represent all the disciples, who are us. In case you haven't figured that out, we're all disciples. Not apostles, maybe, but all disciples. You see, they were all virgins. They all wore the typical wedding gowns. They all had their lamps filled with oil. And they were all burning. And they all fell asleep waiting on the bridegroom to get there. But there was a problem. Only 5 of them made it into the banquet hall with the bridegroom. Why? Well, the lamps they were using are on a pole. This is really what they used. Are on a pole with just a little bit of oil in them and either a wick or a cloth. And it's not a very, very large amount of oil. The 5 bridesmaids that made it in were prepared. They made sure they knew that they could be out there all night, and so they made sure that they had enough oil to last the entire night. They carried extra with them in a jar. And thus, when they heard the cry that the bridegroom was coming at the midnight hour, they were able to keep their lamps lit and meet the bridegroom and go in with him to the banquet hall. The 5 who didn't, on the other hand, the 5 who didn't make it into the banquet, just went with what was initially in their lamp. They didn't prepare. They didn't think about, well, what if he doesn't show up until 3 o'clock in the morning? They just went with what little bit of oil was in their lamp. And you know, that was not a very smart move, considering they didn't know when the bridegroom was going to show up. Nowhere in the rules of a Palestinian wedding are there rules about how long or what time the bridegroom was supposed to show up. He just showed up whenever he darn well felt like it, when he was ready. So they didn't know. They didn't know whether he would return right away or, as it turned out, be delayed for a while. So when the bridegroom was returning, their lamps ran out of oil and their light went out. So they went back to the cellar of the oil to fill up their lamps. But by the time they had done this and came back, what happened? It was too late. The bridegroom had already come, had hooked up with the other five bridesmaids. They went into the banquet hall and the door was shut. And so the five other ones went over and knocked on the door and pleaded with the bridegroom, "Well, we're here now. Can't you let us in now?" And he looked at him. He says, "No, I don't even know you. I can't let you in now. I don't even know you. The time has come and gone." They had missed their chance to go and celebrate with the bridegroom. But what is Christ saying through all this fancy parable to his followers then and now? I mean, it's kind of a pretty eloquent little parable, but what does it mean to us? What are we supposed to be taking from this? Well, let's look at it. First of all, he's telling us that he is the bridegroom. Okay, the bridegroom in this parable represents Jesus Christ. Let's be clear on that. Secondly, the bridesmaids are us. Now, for some of us guys, that's a little hard to swallow because we can't imagine wearing dresses, but it'll be okay. Just go along with me. But we, all of us, are the bridesmaids, you and I. And we need to be careful because we could end up being a part of the group that doesn't make it, that it doesn't make it in time, that misses out on his return, on Christ's return. Now, some of you are thinking, "Well, now, how is that, preacher? How does that happen? How could we miss out on his return?" Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. We all are baptized believers, right? Okay. And we all receive the filling of the Holy Spirit during the time of our baptism. Okay. Also, we all have the light of Christ burning inside each one of us. That's good. And we're all waiting for Christ's return. Amen?
Amen?
Good. I like a little response there. Good. But have we all made ample preparations to be refueled by the Holy Spirit while we are waiting on Christ's return? Or are we going on in what we initially received? You see, we're out here in this dark and lonely world, letting our light shine, light of salvation shine for Christ, doing the work of the Lord. But have we prepared? Have we prepared for the journey? We have to have a plan for refueling. If we don't, we run the risk that our light will burn out and we will miss the return of Christ. It can happen. In preaching school, they are constantly telling us that we have to have a plan for refueling, for keeping our light lit. Okay? We have to have a plan through, we have to be prepared to spend time in the Bible through Bible study and devotion and prayer and meditation. They tell us constantly, you better get your act together. You better have plans so that every day you're spending some time with the Holy Spirit and the Lord, getting renewed, keeping refreshed, keeping that spirit of full inside. They also tell us that we need to have a plan for occasionally taking time away from our ministry to be ministered to. That was a revelation to me. Oh. So a minister needs to go and be ministered to once in a while. Oh, that's a new thing. Who would have thunk it? But they're on to us all the time about making sure that you're keeping yourself spiritually fit so that your light doesn't burn out, so that you can continue in what you're doing and not miss out on the return of the Lord. If we don't, our oil might be used up and our light will then go out. then we run the risk of not being ready to meet Christ at His return. I don't even like the thought of that. Now, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, preacher. Hang on there a minute. Now, how can we be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and still miss out on the return of Christ? How can this be possible? Well, think of it this way. If you become a baptized believer and you're out there doing what you believe God has called you to do, but you're not taking time to spend with the Holy Spirit and your Lord in devotion time and prayer and meditation and all those other things, then how do you know you're still doing what God has called you to do? He may have originally called you to do that, but at some point that calling may change or grow into something else. And if we're not constantly in contact, if we're not constantly keeping ourselves in check in prayer and meditation and devotion, how do we know? Even more so, how do we keep from falling into that trap of ending up where we're serving to glorify ourselves instead of serving to glorify God? It can happen. It can happen. You've got to stay full of the Holy Spirit to keep that light burning. You know, God calls us to go into the world and be a light of hope, a light into the world, right? To help, to be a light to shine out, to show people the way. Just as the bridesmaids were a light to show the bridegroom a way. How do we do that if we're not doing something to keep that light burning? It doesn't just start. We can't just say it at our baptism, well, okay, I've been baptized, I've received Christ, I've received the Holy Spirit, I'm done. It's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong thing. We got to keep going. We got to keep remembering to keep that light burning. Some might say, well, I don't need to worry about that now. I'm pretty full of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've got it coming out my ears. I'm so full of the Holy Spirit, you know. I mean, I'm so fired up, my shorts are on fire. Well, that's great if Christ is returning tomorrow or the next day maybe. Then you're in good shape. But the thing is, we don't know when Christ is going to return, do we? And we hear a lot of people saying, well, God's going to return, Christ is going to return soon. It's coming soon. Things are stacking up that way. Well, I believe that. I don't mind sharing that with you. I believe that to some degree. But even though I believe that, I also know that I have no idea when Christ is going to return. We're not supposed to know. But we're supposed to be prepared for that return. That's the key here. We don't know when He's coming back. It could be tomorrow, it could be next week, several years. We don't know. So we must have a plan for staying full of the Holy Spirit until the time when Christ comes. You know, I've heard some say, well, I don't need to worry about that because my wife prays enough for the both of us. And I want to be equal opportunity here. So some women may say, well, my husband prays enough for me, you know, for the both of us. You know, we've heard others that say, well, gee, I don't have to worry about that. My mama prays enough for me. She's praying all the time for me. Well, you probably need it, but, you know, that's beside the fact. Well, I'm here to tell you that this scripture deals with that little problem too. Remember when the five bridesmaids found out that they were out of fuel? And so they went to the other and they asked and they said, oh, please, can't we have some oil for our lamps that are about to run out? And the bridesmaids that had the oil said, no! If we give you some of ours, there won't be enough for both of us, and they all may run out, and none of us meet the bridegroom. Furthermore, they couldn't give it to him, because it was custom, it was part of the wedding custom, that if you were a bridesmaid and you had that lamp, it was your job to make sure that it stayed lit until the time the bridegroom came. That meant that you were responsible for preparing ahead of time. In that same light, you know, when I wrote that, that sounded really weird. But in that same light, we are each responsible for our own lamp, our own light as well. We cannot borrow or buy salvation from somebody else. We can't do it. We must receive it and perpetuate it through our own interaction with the Holy Spirit. Our mama can't save us. She can't pray it for us. Our daddies, our fathers, our husbands, our children, they can't do it for us. Our friends, they can't do it for us. We must do it ourselves. Now, sure, we all can say, well, but our father was Abraham. We're all descendants of Abraham. Therefore, we're covered. We got it made in the shade. But that doesn't work. Being a descendant of Abraham, which we are, only means or only guarantees us that we will be offered the light of salvation. It doesn't guarantee that we're going to get it. And it doesn't guarantee that we're going to be able to keep it. That's up to us. Now let me be clear on this. Yes, Christ offers us, through grace, salvation. We can't earn it. We can't do anything to get it. He offers it to us through His grace. But once He's offered it to us and we've accepted it, then we do have something we have to do. We have to perpetuate it. We have to go on. We have to stay connected with the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures, through prayer, through meditation, in order to keep it together. Otherwise, we lose that light. So what is Christ telling us through this parable? Well, that we're responsible for receiving and perpetuating our own salvation, and that we need to be constantly preparing to meet Christ when He returns. It's not a one-time thing. Once we receive Christ in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then it's a lifelong job of preparing to meet Him when He returns. If we fail to be prepared, we will miss the opportunity to go with Christ. And it won't do us any good once He's come and gone to say, okay, Lord, now I'm ready. Now I'm here. Now I've got my lamp full. Because He's going to say, I don't even know you. It will be too late. We must prepare. We must be ready. For our sake and for others. We can't do the work of the Lord if we're not prepared ourselves. We've got to be ready. We've got to prepare. So I guess the thing I would ask you this morning is, are you ready? Have you done those preparations? Do you have a plan for daily devotion or daily prayer or daily something, some kind of supplication? Keep you connected with the Holy Spirit to keep your light burning? Are you ready? Will you pray with me?